to the program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it. We've got Connor Green behind the glass, and I will be with you for four big hours. We've got baseball. We are officially now on the All-Star break. Home Run Derby and All-Star Game Monday and Tuesday. I actually will be there. Looking forward to that. And time to give out grades, Yankees and Mets. It's not really the first half, but it is the unofficial sort of first part of the season. The All-Star break. And what grade would you give the Yankees? I'm pretty sure I understand the grade for the Mets. There really isn't any other grade, I don't think, besides an F. But we'll evaluate both. For the Yankees, topics for you to call in on. This whole Cam Schlittler, we're going to dive into this, and Cam Schlittler not pitching in the All-Star game, although when you listen to him, it kind of sounds like he wants to, that he's not going to, but he's sort of available, but not really. And then Blue Jays manager John Schneider saying Dylan Cease is now the starter in the All-Star game, and he had made that decision even before hearing about Schlittler not pitching. And so there's all that kind of mishigas, and we'll dive into that. Are you happy, Yankee fans, that it seems that Cam Schlittler is not pitching in the All-Star game? Is there any kind of controversy here about him not being named the starter even before Schneider knew that he wasn't pitching? Anything there, or is it simply a nothing burger, nothing to see here? We're going to get into all of that. And another question for Yankee fans, as you evaluate the first part of the season. Look, a week ago I sat here and we talked about the Yankees were going to be playing Tampa, you know, playing Tampa Bay, playing the Rays for four, three against the Washington Nationals, and that this last week before the All-Star break, it could be ugly. I mean, they could have gone into the All-Star break down seven games versus the Rays. It could have been ugly. And instead, they go 5-2. 2-2 against the Rays, which I think is important. That's a good baseball team. And then they sweep the Washington Nationals, who offensively have been a good team. But my question for you, with all of this late game heroics and Yankee resilience and, you know, coming back in all three games late to win, with all of that, how much are you now buying the Yankee offense coming back to life? And how much of this is that the Washington Nationals have an absolutely god-awful bullpen that is on pace to set the, you know, single season record for blown saves in a season? And that's how bad they are. So how much of that? We're going to dive into all of that. And I have an example for Yankee fans who always claim the Yankees and Aaron Boone, that everybody does everything by the book. It's always analytics and all of this. I'll give an example of when Aaron Boone went against analytics. It actually worked out well for him today. So we'll dive into that and talk about that. So a lot to do on the Yankees. For the Mets, though, here's what we should be talking about. Here's the sad part of the Mets. We should be in a hellacious season that has just been one disappointment after another. We should be talking tonight for the New York Mets about rookie Zach Thornton making his third ever major league start, going seven innings, giving up no runs. We should be talking all about that. We should even be talking about Francisco Lindor in a positive way today, talking about how he had driven in both of the Mets' runs in today's game, that he was the hitting star, the hero of the game. That's what we should be talking about. And we should, of course, be talking about the Mets at the break, but we could have been talking about, I don't know, are there any positives for the Mets as we hit the break? Untouchables. You know, A.J. Ewing, Carson Benj, Juan Soto. We could be talking about all those things, but And we will. But in typical Mets fashion, today's game, a microcosm, a snapshot of the season. There it is. They can't even give you this, Mets fans. They can't even give you one pleasant thing, one pleasant game to head into the All-Star break. Can't do it. And so instead of a positive, a young pitcher, exciting, watching him in his third start get a win, go seven in, shutout innings, instead of that, we have to talk about I don't even know what to call it. It was a routine ball to shortstop. Devin Williams on the mound in the ninth inning, trying to save a one-run game. A two-run game, a two-run lead. It was two zip at that point. And it should have been an inning-ending double play. As routine a ground ball to shortstop as you will ever see. And it simply bounces off of Lindor, and then he scrambles to try and pick it up and is unable to in any kind of time to get it out. Runners are safe. First and second. And so instead of one out, instead of this game being over, which it should have been, as routine a ground ball to shortstop as you will ever see, and Lindor himself after the game called it unacceptable to miss that play. And it's right, and I know he feels terrible. I get it. He does. But boots the ball, and the friggin' Mets can't even give us one damn day. Lindor boots the ball. The Mets lose the game. Devin Williams can't pick up his teammate. Again, in fairness to him, the game should have been over with a double play. And then it's a bloop to Carson Benj in right field, who was playing so deep in the outfield that he comes flying in there trying to catch a ball that does bounce off of his glove, bounce off the mitt. Analytics tells us there was a 17% chance that that fly ball should be a hit. It shouldn't have bounced in, but it does on this Mets team. And so it's not like Devin Williams was getting lit up, but then his, you know, inability to close down the game with adversity does come into play. And we should have been talking about a Devin Williams save, routine save on this day. We should have been talking about Lindor's hitting heroics. We should have been talking about Zach Thornton. And yes, leading off the game, the Mets two runs, A.J. Ewing with a leadoff double to start the game. We should be talking about Ewing and Soto and Benj and who's the core of this team moving forward, and should they trade Luke Weaver at the trade deadline, and if you were going to trade him, what would it take to pry him away, given how well that Luke Weaver is pitching right now and how valuable that is? We should be talking about all of that. We will. But instead, there's the Mets. Instead, there's the Mets doing what they do. And I guess what I want to say to Mets fans, I don't know if this is therapy, sports therapy, but sometimes it is important to say, I see you. I understand what you're going through. Here we are at the All-Star break. And when we think about disappointing Mets seasons, we've lived through a lot of them. Where does this one rank? It has to be right up there. When you go into a season with a payroll north of $300 million, when you go into a season with the second highest payroll in the sport, and with Fangraphs and analysts and all kinds of predictors saying that this New York Mets team that just missed the playoffs, the postseason last year by a game, that this year, yes, even with all the changes that were made, that this year, this Mets team on paper was supposed to be a team that was a contender. A team that, all right, maybe, you know, the Dodgers are tough to beat, but the Mets were supposed to for sure be a playoff team and a contender. And instead, now we're faced with this. A team that is 17 games out of 17 games below 500. 17 games below 500. So yeah, Mets fans, I see you. I know the look. I understand. I know the look. That sort of slow blink of disbelief. The how is it still like this? A season that it's so depressing that you look at the calendar and you're sort of making a bargain with the calendar. You're trying to figure out, like, I love baseball. I want to watch baseball. I want to watch this team. I'm not having huge expectations. I'm not expecting a miracle. I do expect they're going to trade players away at the trade deadline, especially, you know, free agents for sure. That makes sense. But every time they play a decent game, you think to yourself, well, maybe the next homestand, maybe the next game, that's when the vibes will change. And then there's a game like today when it seems like the vibes have changed, at least for a day, at least for a damn day. Rookie starting pitcher on the mound making his third ever start, gives you seven spotless innings, was through a no-hitter through four and a third, even overcomes a bad play by the Hageman, the current occupant of first base today, who drops a routine fly ball, a foul ball, dropped a foul ball. And what does the super efficient young pitcher making his third ever start do? Shrugs it off. Yes, he walked that batter, but gets the next guy to ground out. No problem. Seventh inning. He bowed his back. He picked up his teammate. And we should be giving all kinds of praise. Today should be, in a season of hellaciousness, Mets fans, today should have been a feel-good day. And instead, there it is. Another bad one. And so I guess a question that I think we're all wrestling with on some level as we look in the second half of the season is, like, why bother watching? And the answer, because we love baseball. And not because it's being a Mets fan is comfortable or it's fair or it's easy. But for every season like the 2024 OMG Mets, you keep hoping another season like that is around the corner. And you see the young players, the AJ Ewings, the Carson Benjes, even a Juan Soto, who's still young and is getting better as a hitter. Like, you can see it. You can watch him. And he looks like he's getting better as one of the best baseball players and hitters on the planet, getting better. The fun, the potential for it is there. And that gives you some hope. And, you know, that's why we watch. But to watch a game like today, it does make you think sometimes, like, why bother? And the answer are the young guys, the Zach Thorntons, the Carson Benjes, the AJ Ewings, the Juan Sotos. Like, that's why we watch. And maybe for you it's a lost cause. I get it. But are there reasons still to watch? Yes. But super frustrating. The effing Mets. Should have been a feel-good day on a season that is a feel-bad season. And they even snatched this one away. And then the questions on, because it's Lindor who made the mistake, and there's all this stuff out there on the relationship between Lindor and Soto, and for all that the owner or the president of baseball operations can say they're not going to trade Francisco Lindor and all of this, when you see a play like today, you know, all those questions then start coming back. Like, what position are the Mets in? Where are they as a franchise? And what should be the core and the foundation to build on? And as much as you don't want to trade a Francisco Lindor, because when his head is right, he is one of the best shortstops and two-way players in the game. But we've seen this before with Lindor. Remember the year with the two thumbs down? When he gets into a negative place and he's not comfortable and happy with his teammates, like, you can miss, you know, his nickname in Cleveland, Mr. Smiles. When he's smiling and happy, you see that in his play on the field. And when he's not, I think you also see that with his play on the field. All right, 888-808-1019. We're going to dive all into that. And then I want to play you, we'll play some audio. Actually, you know what? Do we have, let's play this, well, let's play the Mets audio right now, and then we're going to play the Yankees audio right after the break. Connor, let's play, this was, by the way, if this doesn't encapsulate the Mets season, here's what Mets closer Devin Williams had to say heading into the All-Star break. He said this today.
It hasn't been fun, you know? Not a lot of celebrating going on in this clubhouse right now, but, you know, get to take a couple days off and show up and try and do it again.
Is there anything you do personally during the All-Star break reset to kind of reset, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, anything but this.
There you go. That was the audio from Devin Williams, Mets closer Devin Williams. It's not fun, and what are you going to do in the All-Star break? Anything but this. Does that sound like a team, a clubhouse that want to be there, and a player that wants to be part of the solution with the New York Mets? 888-808-1019. When we come back, want to play some audio and get into this Cam Schlittler and the All-Star game and starting and not. Yeah, is he going to pitch? Is he not going to pitch? You can hear the struggle in his voice, and I'm curious how Yankee fans, you got to love this guy, Schlittler, and his whole approach, but do you want him to pitch in the All-Star game, Yankee fans? On the one hand, very fun and exciting to watch it. I remember Jacob deGrom pitching in the All-Star game when he was young and how exciting that was to watch him against the best players in the game. But then the flip side of it is, of course, you know, you always worry about the risk of injury. And do you not want him to pitch, period? Because it sounds like he's struggling with that, and you can kind of hear that in his voice. We'll get to that when we come back. All right, phone lines are open, 888-808-1019. You can also hit me up on Twitter, on X, @LRubensonWFAN. I'll read the comments there. We'll be right back.